Good morning. Welcome back. God, I'm hitting everything. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast. I am Tom, alcoholic, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check out all of our local podcasters podcasting. Having fun. Hooting it up. Good morning. Well, it is Wednesday. I don't know why, but it feels like tomorrow's Christmas. Today feels like Christmas Eve. It is not. I've made several plans already in the prior week about Thursday being Christmas. I don't know. I'm in this like weird mental fog that like Christmas and Thanksgiving always are on Thursdays. But we know that's not to be the case. Christmas is on Friday, so I don't know what my problem is, but whatever. Yeah, good morning. So I just wanted to take a second. And so yesterday was my anniversary, 11 years. Thank you. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you. I knew my anniversary was coming up. I talked about my anniversary would be coming up. I was excited about my anniversary coming up. And then my anniversary came up and I forgot. And I was looking at something on Instagram or something. And someone had congratulated me. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oops.
So, of course, you know, I went into, you know, shine a lot of light on me. And, you know, I posted my little Instagram, my little Facebook picture, my coins and stuff. And, you know, it was awesome. Super grateful. I thought maybe I would do a little, my anniversary. So, you know, we're not having meetings. We're not having meetings. I mean, you can do Zoom meetings and stuff. I don't like them. I'm not saying don't do them. In fact, if you're, you know, at any point thinking of drinking or anything, you know, hit up a Zoom meeting. I'm at a higher level now, right? Like I'm special. I don't need a Zoom meeting. Probably everything I'm going to say in the next 5 minutes is probably whatever I say is the opposite. I could definitely use a Zoom meeting, but I miss meetings. And, you know, at this time of the year, I would usually sit up front and share and get my coin. I ran with my buddy Brian, and I ran with the doctor. And he said, because we finished, I asked them if they want to come in for a little coffee or you know, we sit outside socially distanced and have coffee and just kind of chat when we get done running. And James said he was going to a meeting. I'm like, can you pick me up a virtual 11-year coin? He laughed. It don't work like that. I go, I know. One day, maybe. But I thought I would just give a little share. So I usually do it. How it was, what happened, and how it is today. Sounds like a good place to start. How it was. Well, you know, I think about this a lot. I think about this a lot lately. You know, I'm living a life reaping the rewards of sobriety. And they're very surface, you know, kind of stuff. The stuff that comes back pretty quickly. You know, March 31st, March 31st, 1997 is when the very first time I got sober. And how it was then was I literally had no friends. No friends, acquaintances, and the acquaintances that I had were only able to kind of drink like I did. Unless it was a forced acquaintance like, you know, working or, you know, a coworker. And that was really, that was the acquaintances, were the people that I worked with at the golf course. And, you know, it was a few people. I had no real skills to, you know, interact and become friends and create relationships and be trustworthy and be accountable and, you know, not be that guy that every time you went out with them, you weren't quite sure what was going to happen that night. But typically it would end up being bad. And I had zero expectations of myself, constantly in fear of when the next shoe was going to drop. drinking every day, every morning waking up, regretting the day before, giving myself the same old speech, I'm not going to do it again, I'm not drinking as much tonight, I'm not going to smoke crack tonight, I'm not doing all that shit tonight, and the next, and by the end of the night, going deep into it. Next morning, same routine, this grind on the bottom of the ocean of despair. You know, everybody looking at me and talking about me. I remember working on the golf course and just being like, if I had to cut fairways or, you know, mounds or whatever it is I had to cut, do for the day, and just kind of that, you know, isolation of just me, the lawnmower, and not lawn, but the turf, you know, the whatever it is, triplex, whatever. Just me, the machine, and my thoughts. And just knowing what an awful existence and what an awful day it was going to be if I was just left to think about how fucked up I am. And it was that way. I was so sick, spiritually deficient. No relationship with anything other than me. Drinking every day, drinking vodka, doing coke, just all of it. Wrecking lives, destroying my parents' lives. And constantly wanting to get sober. It's hard. Sobriety is hard. I think there's harder. I think cigarettes are harder. I think food's harder. Alcohol is, I don't know. I quit alcohol and drugs way before I was able to quit eating Reese's peanut butter cups. Those things are fucking the demon. But constantly wanting to get sober and, you know, falling short and nothing works and DUIs and stitches and, you know, cops and just, you just never knew. You know, how can you make plans to have a life if you're constantly wondering the next time you're going to call somebody a fucking asshole or fucking flip off a cop or, you know, call the cops on yourself because you're a victim to your own fucking stupidity. Every day was like that. No hope, no friends, no relationships. Fucking bad. What happened? Well, I got punched in the fucking face is what happened. Nothing changes lives like shame and guilt. This was shame. Ego, pride, all kicked in the nuts. When two fucking extreme moments came together and then there was like this explosion. And I can remember myself, this arrogant, big mouth, drunken fucking asshole. Give me another drink. I need two. It was last call. I needed two drinks, you know. I don't even know what last call. I mean, last call is like, hey, you know, we're shutting down the bar. If you want another drink, you know, we can put that order in for you. No. What that meant was I'm an alcoholic and I need to get to, I mean, at last call, I guarantee I am fucking drunk. You know, I don't walk into bars. I don't start my drinking at, you know, 10:59 or whatever time 11 call is, last call is. You know, I've been drinking probably since about 5:30. So let's say last call's at midnight, so I'm, you know, 7 hours into this bitch. And I am at the peak of my arrogance, any sense of the sober Tom that might have started the day off, he is completely gone. This is arrogant, drunken asshole Tom, and he is at his full finest. I need another drink, give me two. And I can just, as a sober person now, I deal with people that are just even slightly annoying, and I'm fucking already rolling my eyes. So I can't even imagine what it was like for this bartender to have to deal with fucking me. And then out of nowhere, boom, punched in the face. Still don't know who did it. Dropped me to my knees. And first of all, reality came back real quick. all of a sudden, I did not need another drink. All of a sudden, I was an overdrinker. You know, I have a problem. And I've mapped out my thoughts that at that moment. You know, I don't think it's possible to have normal thoughts at that moment. I would think normal thoughts would have been like, oh, wow, I should probably have kept my mouth shut. Wow, I probably really owe this guy an apology. What is the fucking matter with you, Tom, you idiot? But the first thought that came to my head was, I don't know if it was the first thought was, wow, my lip is completely fucking split open into my nose hole. But I remember looking to my right and the bartender walking towards me, and I thought, this is how arrogant I was. I thought, he's my friend. He knows how cool I am. He's going to give me a hand. Me. Not, oh my God, this guy should throw me out right now. I deserve it. Oh my God, this guy has taken way too much abuse from me. He should punch me in the face. Oh my God, I should apologize every day for the rest of my life for the shit that I put this guy through. Those thoughts don't come through my mind. Why me? I'm like, and then he comes over, picks me up, throws me out the fucking front door. And, you know, that's it. That is it. And it is, you know, it's a miracle. I couldn't quit. I had to have the fucking shit kicked out of me before I could quit.
People say I'm crazy, doing what I'm doing. Well, they give me all kinds of warnings to save me from.
I think that, you know, I think that my story, you know, how it was, what happened, they're probably not different from a lot of people. You know, I know our bottoms are all different, but I've met people exactly like me. My wife, when my wife and I met, exactly like me. You know, when I met my wife, she was, you know, drinking. She's not, you know, just normal drinking, right? Doing her thing. And I remember we went to a bar. I was not drinking. And she's like, hold my beer. I need to get last call. And I think it was her birthday. So she wanted her birthday beer, her last call beer, and me to hold the beer so she could have three. And I'm like, I didn't say anything. I'm like, what do I care? It's none of my business. But I thought that's exactly how I was. And thank God, you know, and I think she would agree, you know, she doesn't drink anymore, but we laugh about that. You know, we're alcoholics. We're self-centered assholes with deficiency in humility. We're want. You know, we want everything. You know, I told her, I said, everything you do is extreme. She laughed. But I don't find my story any unique. You know, I drank too much. I don't know when the malady started, where if I have one, I can't stop, because it wasn't always like that. I know how I got to the place where I ended up. You know, my story also includes drugs. And when I was out in San Diego, I was doing a lot of drinking, but I was doing a lot of speed. And I used the alcohol to balance out the speed, and the speed to balance out the alcohol, and just kind of, living this. I mean, literally living a life that really hadn't. I had no idea what I was doing. You know, I mean, I wasn't constantly drunk, but it was either one or the other. A lot more speed, but. And I, when I moved to Delaware, I really switched my addiction because there was no speed. I replaced it. You know, I'm a high fluting alcoholic, whatever it is. You know, I have standards. Until my standards aren't there, and then I'll lower my standards, and I'll just lower my standards all the way down till, you know, just get something. You know, I mean, in the end, I was drinking McGee's vodka in the plastic bottle. I mean, just the bottom of the shelf, $2.39 a pint vodka. It didn't matter. So how it is today? How it is today, right today, is amazing. How it was when I first came into the program, it was amazing. You know, I've said before, you know, if you live out in the manure field long enough, finally when you come out and smell regular air, you think it's from heaven. And that's what getting sober was for me. Every new thing I did, driving, conversations, job applications, working environment, having breakfast, having lunch, having dinner, driving past dark, all of my experiences became new. Because all of that shit was either, I was either coming off of or going up on alcohol or drugs. And in San Diego, staying up weeks at a time, you know, just on drugs. So coming into this program, it felt like I had gone to heaven. You know, and I've shared over the past however many podcasts I've done, you know, getting involved, shaking hands, getting a temporary sponsor who I was chosen by him. I did not choose my temporary sponsor. My temporary sponsor chose me. And, you know, all of these things. And I had been in a program before. I'd been to rehab. I'd done all of it. None of it worked. But March 31st, 1997, that morning, I wanted to get sober. I'd had enough. Shame and guilt had slapped me into, slapped me straight. And it was time. And all of those things, making coffee, you know, passing the basket. Whatever little fucking task I had to do in this program, I did it. But the one thing that, and I, you know, hey, our journeys are our journeys, and I wouldn't have changed mine, but I think if I was going to, one of the things for me today is, you know, sobriety is by far the most important thing. And I think the definition of sober is a person without drink. So a person who's not putting the drink or drug into their body. But one thing I didn't understand in the beginning is that it's a drink, a drug, food, a girl, a boy, whatever it is, a guy. I'm not a boy, but, you know, whatever it is. That, I always say my first drug was a girl by the name of Debbie P, you know. But whether it's food, alcohol, drugs, you know, relationships, money, big shotism, whatever it is, you know. They're all part of our problem. Alcohol just seems to be the one that fucking frustrates everybody. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable to everybody else. How many people are like that? You know, how many people got sober because basically nobody would help them out anymore? You'd lost everybody. You know, my brother, you know, who, you know, is sober today, but I remember my parents, you know, and it, whether it's my brother or my story, you know, my parents were so, I hate to use the word spoiled, but they spoiled us. Fuck it. They spoiled us. They did everything for us. And, you know, they're great people. I have my dad over, have him over tonight for dinner. Love my dad. You know, I know as a parent, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but, you know, you do the best you can. And he was doing the best he can, could. But, you know, we were so spoiled that, I don't know. People put up with our shit for too long. And but you know, I whether it's all that stuff, but you know, one of the things I've learned is I've always thought, you know, being free from vodka was what my why I was in this program, and it's not. You know, 11 years today or 11 years yesterday, I've realized that what's most important for me is serenity. You can't drink and be serene. I get that. But if I wanted to find happiness and if I want to find some peace, I had to move past just the fact I don't drink and I wanted to learn how to be serene. And if serenity is a plant, you know, serenity plants just don't grow on their own. You don't stick a fucking plant in the ground and it's fucking awesome. It needs things, just like serenity does. And what serenity, for me in my life, what I need to do to have some glimpses of it, you know, and I've talked about them, staying in the moment, trying to be honest, have conversations, you know, read the big book, go to meetings, you know, understand, you know, share when I've got problems, talk to people about it. Because all the opposite is of basically of me worrying about shit that might even not even be relevant, but not sharing it and keeping it all to myself and just grinding myself down. You know, there was a... You know, we were talking last night and you know, I think one of the things that I had to start doing when I first got sober is, you know, I was so immature. You know, and I looked at everything from such a skewed way of life. And I'll never forget, my buddy Matt said, "Listen, man, you can't be a victim. As long as you're a victim, you can't get better. Until you stop being a victim, you can't get better." And I'm like, what the? That's bizarre. At some point, I have to surrender everything. I can't have one foot in that life and one foot in this life. This is the life I want. This is the life I want to live in. This is the life I have to surrender to. And, you know, I've given up the fight. But that has nothing to do with drinking, right? That has everything to do with serenity. And I found out today that, you know, you can't have one without the other. But like when it comes to coins and time and a story, none of that is important. But what's important is serenity. You know, in a perfect sober life, you know, you would probably say, hey, you know, if you're really on your game, if you're really doing what you should do, you probably shouldn't really say much about your anniversary. It shouldn't really be a thing, right? Some of the things in AA or some of the things in programs like this are, you know, I understand it's nice to reward and to recognize and feel good about what we do, but there's a little, it's slightly toxic. You know, coins and time. There's people that won't admit that they've used because they don't want to lose their time. They're so concerned about their coin and their time that they abandon serenity. Or really haven't found it yet. I you know, so yesterday was my anniversary. And if I'm babbling, just fucking turn it off. So yesterday was my anniversary, and somebody posted something. Of course, I enjoy it. You know, I love the people that say, you know, congratulations. I love that stuff. So if I'm, you know, doing what I shouldn't do, I apologize. But I like to share my anniversary. I like to, you know, I have people all the time. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a friend of mine. And she's like, "So you're still doing the sober thing?" You know, I think there's people out there struggling, and they want to be sober. They just don't want to give up the drinking. But they're like, you know, how's that going? But somebody sent this picture of a coin, and it was kind of cool. Makes sense. But it's a coin, and I'm going to post this on the I'm Sorry About Last Night Instagram. But it's just a, you know, a regular coin, but on the back it says step one, acceptance. And I guess what this is just a one word summary of what the step is. Step one is acceptance. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. We surrendered. I've said this before, probably the first humble thing I did. I thought it just said, I thought step one would be confess. Fine. I drink too much. It's not it. It's being humble. We admitted acceptance. Step two, faith. It's key. It's key, and I'm not sure why we kick our feet. I guess because, I don't know. But it's faith. It's building a relationship with a higher power. Step three, surrender and trust. Makes sense. I mean, absolutely. Surrender, basically turning our will and our lives over to the care of a higher power. It's letting my life, you know, I use my buddy Matt as an example. Matt is not God. I know that. Matt was not God when he was alive, but Matt was important to me, and it was important that I appeared like I had my shit together to him. Later, I would learn it's about ego. He was very popular in the city or in the town, and, you know, I wanted to be associated with that because I wanted to have people recognize me. So, you know, there was some dysfunctional there, and this is sober, right? This is like years into sobriety, and I'm still, you know, if it didn't involve vodka, it wasn't as much something I had to pay as much attention to. But, you know, looking back at it, you know, I wanted to be part of his, you know, his entourage, so to speak. I wanted to be recognized for it. And in doing so, in that time, it's almost like I treated him like a higher power, and for kind of the wrong reasons, but this is how I kind of, it was a good example for me to use when later on I would try to figure out how I would have a relationship with a higher power. And, you know, if Matt was around, I was on my best behavior. And when it comes to, you know, my relationship, the surrender and trust, you know, I have to pretend that, you know, my higher power is watching down and I'm concerned or I care what he sees or she or whatever the higher power is. But, you know, it's tough, but that's why the word trust is there. You just have to trust. You know, I talk about or I've shared the power of prayer, saying it out loud. You know, Matt used to say, share your problems. It cuts them in half. Say, make a prayer. Say it out loud. Cuts everything in half. It's surrendering. What's our fear? Oh, my God, I'm going to sound like an idiot. Someone's going to hear me. I don't know. Step four, honesty. That's when we start doing our inventory, right? Pulling all the shit out. The good, bad, and the ugly. All of it. All of it. Because honestly, if you leave one thing in there, you're basically defeating the purpose. I remember the first time I did a four-step with my first sponsor. It was huge. Papers and papers and papers and notebooks. And, you know, my buddy Scott, you have to have a black notebook. You know, this whole breaking down the self-centered side of us. You know, and if you brought a blue one, I told you to bring black. You don't. Who cares what you want? This is what I've told you. You know, this whole reprogramming us and shit. And I was like, fuck it, dude. I'd rather just be friends and have you do my inventory. But my first time with Mike R, I did my first four step and I listed everything, but not everything. You know, just the things I thought, which is absolutely expected, right? I mean, I don't know what the normal path is to put everything out there. You know, everything, I'd be like, what's the matter with this person? Or to do like I did and put all the things that I thought weren't that embarrassing out there. That's what I would expect. But the second time I did my four-step, it was much more low-key. It was actually with Matt, and it was like, you know, do you get the point of this? You know, why you're upset? It's not, you know, and I love the example in the book, you know, Mr. Jones hates a neighbor or whatever it is. And it's like, I hate that neighbor. I do this all the time with people. I hate that. Why? I just do. Well, let's do a four-step on it. Let's pick it apart. And we pick it apart and we realize And, you know, you learn a lot through that stuff. You don't need 5,000 fucking examples in a four step. It's pretty clear. Me not getting what I want. Maybe. And then the fifth, what's the word for the fifth? It's courage. Courage. Courage to change the things we can. And the wisdom to know the difference. I mean, it's funny, even in the Serenity Prayer, God, grant me the most amazing thing, right? I mean, if you're going to ask God for something, might as well be the amazing thing. God, grant me serenity. God, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. God, grant me the serenity to accept. Courage. It's where you shake it out, all that four-step stuff. Blah. Share it with somebody. I remember I called my first sponsor. When I did my second fifth step, I called my old sponsor. I said, do you mind if I read my fifth step? Nope. Sat down, read it, and left. Out loud. Six, willingness. Well, that's when we start taking everything we've learned and we start practicing it. Seven, humility. I'm a self-centered bastard with a deficiency in humility. Eight, forgiveness. That makes sense. Nine, freedom. 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 10, perseverance. 11, patience. And step 12. What's that say? Clarify and love. Clarify and love. That's interesting. Clarify? Is that the word? That's weird. Oh, charity. That makes sense. Giving back. Once we've gone through all these steps, our job is to be there for the next alcoholic. Plain and simple. Hey, that's all my time. Today is the day after my anniversary. Thank you so much. It's just another day. I just want to be an example. 11 years. I got sober in 97, drank after 4 years, bounced around a couple years, got sober again, bounced around for a bit, changed my sobriety date 2 years into it because of pain pills. And so here we are 11 years later. If you're struggling, hang in there. Keep coming back. If anybody wants to chat about anything, you can reach out. Find me on Instagram. I'm sorry about last night. And I don't know if I'll do any more podcasts before Christmas. Maybe. I don't know if I'll be allowed. My wife might not let me. But I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and Happy Holiday. And if you do drinking or still drinking, take it easy. Bye. People sound lazy. Dreaming my life away. Well, they give me all kinds of advice. Designed to end.